Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are in our season all about long-term relationships. And we couldn't be more thrilled to have on Dr. Nicole Odom Hardnett, who is a clinical psychologist and president and CEO of Focus Point Solutions, which does behavioral health. So we are really excited to talk to Nicole today, or Dr. Nicole. Today's episode really is about this idea of blending families. Really, what happens when you come together in maybe two families or two family-like situations, maybe under one household, and how do you manage that? What are some of the things to look for? And what kind of strategies can you engage in to be more successful? So, Dr. Nicole, we are thrilled to have you on here today and can't wait to get chatting with you. So maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about your background and what drew you to this type of work.
Oh my goodness. Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's definitely a pleasure to be here. A little bit about my background. Well, I like to call myself a serial entrepreneur. Let me tell you, I did not seek out to have a blended family. It just was bestowed upon me graciously enough. But my background, is in substance use and mental health. I own substance use and mental health clinics. I have four of them in the state of Maryland. Wow. I reside currently in the state of Texas, which I'm opening another clinic here in Texas, and I'm licensed to franchise. Wow. But my passion is blended families. I have a blended family of seven myself. Wow. With one dynamic grandson, and they range in age now from, 22 to 34. Yeah. So there's a lot of personalities. When we started out, of course, they weren't that old. They were a little more set in their ways still. They were 8 to 20 something or another. So, you know, they thought they knew everything at that time. So yeah. I did not think anything about a blended family when I got into that relationship or this relationship. It was just, like I said, bestowed upon me.
So did you come to that relationship with kids that you had prior to the relationship, and then the other person had children also?
I have two biological boys, and now I have five bonus children. So three girls and two more handsome gentlemen. Wow. In my life. And this was my first experience with girls. I don't have any sisters. I have older brothers. And I grew up like a tomboy. I played football with the boys. So all I knew was boys. So having girls in the house was, it was like I was in a twilight zone.
I've never want to make assumptions about who's dating who. I don't know if you are with a male partner, female partner, want to disclose or not, but.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Did you guys talk about that beforehand? Did you know right from the get-go, we have kids, I have kids, you have kids, and then are we going to wait to introduce them, or how'd you guys figure that all out?
So I'm with a male partner, and, you know, when we met, we were just friends. There were no expectations. You know, he asked me actually, you know, what are my expectations? I said, I don't have any because I don't know you. So it was strictly on I need to know who this person is. What are you all about? Do we mesh? Do our personalities mesh? Does our conversation mesh? Are we on the same even wavelength in life? And then we can talk about our children. Once we figured out, okay, I like this person and he likes me, I like him, and all that was figured out, then we could proceed in having a conversation about our children. Mm-hmm. Once we got to that conversation about our children, then we started talking about what we thought was lacking in our children's lives. And it, oddly enough, both of us seem to have the same thing lacking in our children's lives. Both of us had previously been married. His marriage was a lot more fresh than mine. He was going through a divorce. I had been divorced for several years. With him, his ex-wife, was not attentive to his children. My ex-husband was not attentive to my boys. So we were going through the same thing. We were looking for that opposite sex to be that person in our children's lives to show our children how to act as, you know, because he had his daughters with him pretty much 24/7. Mm-hmm. His boys were older, they were out of the house, and they were by a previous relationship. Mm. So his young ladies were not, they weren't seeing how to act as young women. They were missing the whole hygiene and mm-hmm. things that young women need to talk about, need to know about, and things of that nature. So that's where I came into play. My boys were, they were in that, okay, I'm not listening to you, lady. I'm going to do what I want to do. So they needed a man to, you know, give them some instructions in a more manly way. And they're not going to listen to mommy yelling and screaming at them. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to teach him things. He was able to teach me things and make me understand that, a woman yelling at a boy was going in one ear and out the other. There's certain ways that you need to punish a boy to make them understand and, you know, really get it that they did something wrong, which was, I thought, the best thing ever. The one of the first punishments for one of my sons was leaving the TV in the room, but taking the cord. So, you know, we were later on when we did get together and start living together, there was a difference in behaviors in each of our children because of the way we communicated. And I don't think it would have happened if we didn't have that communication early on.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have to be on the same page. I mean, as far as disciplining and, mm-hmm. I mean, so you discuss that because you're a clinical psychologist. So you already had that background, but you mainly focus on substance abuse stuff. Is that right?
Right. So the clinical psychology, you know, it's really been embedded in me, but I just got this degree like last year. Mm-hmm. So this is something brand new. Mm-hmm. We have been together for 14 years. Oh, wow. And we've been married now for, it'll be 11 years, this coming year. So, but our communication, it was very rocky in the beginning because it was new to us because there were so many obstacles, especially with his ex. Mine, not so much. It was easy peasy. I was the one who laid down the law with my ex. I'm like, look, I'm going to do what I want with my kids and this is it. They're going to go to this school. They're going to eat this. They're going to do whatever. He had a little bit of pushback and there was more of an outside force coming in. Whereas with the girls, you know, they wanted to listen to mom. They lived with mom mm-hmm. all their life. So it was a bit of a tug of war. They didn't want to disrespect her and nor should they because mm-hmm. that's their mother. So it became difficult with them having this other woman. And now dad's showing attention to someone else. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now mom is, you know, crying and sobbing and because she's missing the life that she used to have. Mm-hmm. She has to do things on her own, but she's also sharing all this information with her children. Mm-hmm. And so the children are now put into adult situations. Mm-hmm. And so now the children are forced to choose. Okay, I should be mad at daddy because he's making mommy cry. And now she's crying because he's happy. And he's happy because he's in a relationship with Ms. Nicole.
Right. And then they're resentful against you. Right.
So it was a big tug of war going on. And I had never been in a situation like this, but what I did understand is that I'm a mother. These are children. They have emotions. This is their mother. They love her. I can't get in the middle of mm-hmm. any of that. Mm-hmm. I can't feel any kind of way. And they're only doing what children do.
Right.
And I had to take all of my feelings out of that. As much as I wanted mm-hmm. to do and to care and for them to like me and to have conversation with me all the time. And I could see that they wanted to, but they felt guilty for talking to me, for liking me.
Mm-hmm.
Because mom didn't like me. Mom didn't want to talk to me. But I'm feeding her children. I am taking her children shopping. I'm doing things with and for her children that she had probably never did.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this woman didn't want to say anything to me. And I had to grin and bear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the statistic is 70% of all second marriages with children. So, you know, these blended families fail, right? It's incredible that you did 14 years. You've now still in this relationship 14 years with, you know, especially putting boys and girls together and all of that.
And I would say that they fail because people cannot take their emotions out of it when there's a problem like I just discussed.
Right.
When the children don't like them or they may be disrespectful, because I had the disrespect come in. And right. My husband, he didn't understand it. He didn't see it. Of course, he was siding with, you know, his daughter, because it was at one time, it was really just one of them, because she was with the mother more than the others. So I had to really make him see what was going on. So I didn't let go mm-hmm. of it. And I had to go to therapy. So I needed someone to talk to about how I was feeling, because he's caught in the middle of it too.
Right.
So, you know, I just kept talking to him and trying to make him understand how I was feeling instead of continuing to suppress it. So I right. find it when people keep suppressing their feelings, that's when it all blows up.
Right.
So any little thing, there's going to be a problem. And any little thing, you're going to blame the child, and then you're going to blame the, you know, the biological parent. And you know, because of the outside coming inside, everything's a problem. And then you can't get the communication right. If you're not solid on your communication with your partner, then that's a problem to begin with.
See, communication and therapy. It always comes up.
That's what Tracy right. always says. You know, when you were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, the particularly filling the gender roles in your situation with your kids who were, you know, boys and girls and so forth. And I think about, you know, that's not as much of an issue. Like, you know, I identify as a lesbian in a same sex couple, but I can tell you that there's more of a parallel. It's the personality differences between the two partners and what the other person might bring to that situation, where I'm much more serious. And, you know, my daughter's always joking around with me that I'm like going around and like telling her to close all the cabinets and the drawers. But, you know, like, you know, my partner has the ability to just be fun and free. And, you know, and so it's like, well, I want that person to go and do this with me, or, you know, and so even in that sense, like bringing in another person who kind of compliments you, or, you know, compliment with an E, not an I, but like, you know, matches you and just sort of brings you, you know, kind of into more of a holistic way, can offer a child other people in the home that, you know, maybe that they go to. I mean, I've told past partners that, you know, I have a daughter, like if she's more comfortable talking to you about something that she might not be comfortable talking to me, I want you to go. I need you to have a trusted adult, and I'm not going to feel jealous or insecure that this is the trusted adult that you're finding, because the alternative is not telling anyone. And that is not what I want. And so I think it's really interesting where I haven't ever looked at it through the lens of gender, because I have a daughter and my partner's a female, but the idea that you're talking about is finding someone to sort of fill some of those gaps, which I think is really kind of a unique opportunity that we have.
Right. Right. I completely agree. You know, what was shocking is our middle daughter, surprisingly, she set me down and she told me some information when she was, I don't know what grade she was in, about boys. She decided to disclose information to me about dating and boys. Wow. Interested. And I was like, I was floored that she chose me to share personal information with. I was so elated. Mm-hmm. You know, I am doing something right. Mm-hmm. For her to share. And so I'm like, okay, whatever I'm doing, I have to remember what I did. Keep on doing it. Yeah. And still to this day, you know, she shares, she comes to me when she has a problem and her back is against the wall, she'll come to me and she'll ask my opinion. And so I you know, I feel honored for me not to be her biological mother, for her to come to me in, you know, confidence.
So that also brings something up, is when that child does come to you in confidence, what is your responsibility to the other parent? So I was married with two kids who were not my kids. They had a mother and a father. I was with their mother. There was a policy in the home of no secrets, you know, no, yes, you can talk to the other person, but nothing can be kept secret. And like, did you guys have a policy? Did you and your partner have a policy? Like, if one of your daughters comes to me, do you tell them up front, I'm going to tell your father everything? Or how can that work in a family?
So in the beginning of the conversation, you know, wherever the conversation is going, I'll ask, you know, do you want your dad to know about this? Or is it okay if I share? Or have you talked to your dad? Or, and if they say, you know, no, I don't want him to know, then it depends on what it is. If it's something serious and I think that, you know, him and I should discuss,
right,
then yeah, we'll discuss it. Because he may have a difference of opinion, or he may want to chime in, or he may go through me of something that I didn't think about, and vice versa. So we're all on the same page. You know, we don't hide anything from each other. So we don't have any secrets. But when a young lady shares a personal experience, I think that should be between young women if she wants to keep it there, you know, because he'll never know what that feels like. So, but when the time was right, you know, she shared it with him. Mm-hmm. That was her experience to share with her dad or not. So we talk, my husband and I, we have very good communication. We don't agree all the time. And the hardest communication was in the very beginning, talking about our children. Mm-hmm. We were very honest about things that we saw, that we liked, we didn't like, that we would like to see change, or concerns that we had with our children. So we have been very honest, and we respect each other's opinion. And we also have a thing that, when we got together, I was looking for someone to help me raise my boys into men. Mm-hmm. And he was also looking for the same type of person to help him raise his girls into young ladies.
That's so awesome. What about, so, discipline, right? We talked about that a little bit earlier, but so I was the narc, and it was known that I would narc on everybody, but I never had a role in the discipline, right? It wasn't my place to discipline the kids. Not, I'm not saying that pull them out of the street, right? Or, you know, right, running in the street, but like I would say, okay, well, I'm going to tell your mother. And then when she gets home or whatever, they talked about it. I never ever was a participant in disciplining.
So usually he'll come up with the disciplinary action, whatever it is. Like I said, he was usually good at that. It would be taking the phone or taking the cord or just taking the remote and unplugging the TV or something like that. We would discuss what it would be and how long, because usually whatever the action is, it's going to affect us somehow or another also. Right. Because we say, okay, if you're punished, we're punished too. So, we always take note of that. But whatever it is, we always would discuss it and we say, look, you know, I think this deserves, you know, a week or a couple of days or no going over a friend's house or something like that.
But then if even when you guys discuss and agree, would then you discipline your biological children and he would discipline his, or would you cross over and it didn't matter who was the one to mete out the consequences?
We operate like one unit. Mm-hmm. Like these children are our children. Mm-hmm. So when we said I do, we mean I do for all. So there are no your children, my children. There's none of that with us. These are our children. So much so that my youngest, my biological, he actually changed his last name.
To your husband.
Wow.
He did that he's 22 now. I think he did that at 20.
Wow.
Or 19 or 20.
Now so really, communicating, like you guys, I had to be on the same page with my ex. We also had to take her ex-husband into consideration. It's like funny. It gets more complicated, you know, each situation. And you appear to me to be African American. And, I don't assume anything. I want to assume, is your partner African American or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
So you wouldn't know because you haven't been in a non, you know, relationship with kids that way. But I imagine race is a big deal, right? And blending racial, like different races together or different parents of different races, right? And
right.
Philosophies, experiences in life.
It is. And I'll tell you that I am, even though I don't, so I identify as an African-American woman. I actually am biracial. But so my husband, so as, Corey was saying, or Dr. Corey was saying that she's the fun one. Mm-hmm. My husband, he's the strict one. He is thus and so all the time, but I am the fun one in the mm-hmm. household. So when the kids come to him with something, or he wants to discuss something, they're like, oh gosh, that's their attitude.
Yeah, serious, right?
Because they know it's so serious. Like everything is a business plan all the time. You have to come to him with all your ducks in a row. He's that type of person. I am we can fly by the seat of your pants. We're going to go to the airport today. We're going to, you know, go to the, you know, wherever.
Right.
I am living my life and they're going to, so we have fun. That's my philosophy. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. Whatever it is, we're going to make it happen. So they'll come talk to me. We'll do business together, but they know whatever it is, if I say that I'm going to do it, it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let me ask you, as you're talking about all this stuff, you know, you've got these children in the household that have come from, well, now it's been an extended period of time, but particularly at the beginning, they came from their own spaces where they had their own routines, their own habits, their own everything. And then they come together under one roof. And now you and your husband are sort of lockstep on how you want to make sure that things are, you know, relatively consistent. How do you determine what it is to be consistent about across everyone? How do you deal with the kids that might have to change a little bit more or give up a little bit more in order to sort of meet in the middle here? You know, like maybe everybody's used to eating dinner at 6 and you're like, no, we're going to eat dinner at 7 now. Like even just little things. How did you come to terms with where that kind of middle ground was for everyone to get on the same page?
You know, so we know all of them have different personalities. So we took that into account and we know which ones need a little more of either a little more love at one time or another, or a little more of a hand holding or a little more of a push. And, you know, sometimes we were wrong on, I think, one, because we thought one was going to be like, okay, I'm going to go out here and it's me against the world and I don't need anything from you guys and I'm good. But that wasn't the case. Life taught her a couple of lessons and she needs a little more coaching. And it's good because we're here for that. That's what we're here for. But then there's another one that, oh, she doesn't need much guidance at all. And she's good in any space that she's in. And we couldn't be more proud. So we have learned their personalities. And we watch them as they grow, the mistakes that they've made, and the lessons that they learned from those mistakes. So it's just learning your kids.
I think what I've learned so far. You really communicated with this man before you guys even decided to embark on this blending, right? And I think we've talked about on this podcast before, we did something about marriage and it's like asking all these questions. And I'm like, you should be asking these questions when you're dating. Like you're figuring this stuff out first before you even go in there. So then you guys figure out you're on the same page. And when you're blending families, I do think like you've done, yours has probably been so successful for so long. Mine ended up, we got divorced after 8 years because of that constant conflict, because those were her kids and that's how it was going to be. Right. And it became, we were not a one unit. Right. And the father who didn't live in the country, but saw the kids, you know, 4 times a year had a huge influence. And, you know, at first they resented me in the way, you know, that like, and I sat them down. They were very young, 3 and 6 and then 4 and 7 at that time, that just anger against me. And I'm like, look, your parents got divorced before I met. I can disappear today. It doesn't mean your parents are getting back together. Right. So this is an anger that you have about the divorce, but she and I never could be on the same page, you know? And I think that that's crucial. And what you're describing is this relationship has lasted so long because you guys really work together. You've decided you're a unit. I just finished watching Love is Blind. And you know, that's the biggest thing for those people. They can't get together because they can't decide. I mean, they meet and they happen so fast, but you got to decide to be that unit and to be on the same page.
Right.
Right. Or you're just going to have constant conflict.
It's going to be constant conflict. You know, one thing we did was, him and I, we went to therapy early on. We didn't do it before we got married. We did it like just after, but we had the communication before. Like we talked all the time. We would talk when we went out on dates. We talked on the phone so late, for so many hours. Then we went to therapy and therapy really helped. You know, I was in therapy before because everyone has baggage. Mm-hmm. Everyone has so much, unhandled, unspoken baggage. And so many people don't give themselves enough of an opportunity to heal from that baggage. They're just from relationship to relationship, but they don't even know themselves. They don't know what they really want from a relationship. They haven't had an opportunity to actually date themselves, meaning get to know who they are, what they want out of life or out of a relationship before they get into a relationship. So that's something that I did prior to getting into this relationship, which I know helped me out a lot because it helped me realize who I really am, what I really want and or need out of a relationship. Because there's a certain type of person that I know that I need to be with that can handle me because I know I'm a piece of work. I'm a lot
to
do
with. By the
way,
just for our listeners, she's adorable little woman. She looks like she's, I always get in trouble when I comment on this, but I'm sorry, you do not look old enough to have such kids, have a PhD and run 4 businesses. I don't know how old you are, but you must be a real spitfire because you're a tiny little person who's got, you clearly have a lot of energy.
Yeah, I am definitely a spitfire. That is for sure. I'll be 51.
August. My, you got on the camera. I thought you were 31.
We're almost the same age. I'm going to be 51 in September.
Yeah.
Are you
Virgo?
I'm a Virgo. Are you a Virgo?
See, I'm a Virgo.
Me too. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
three Virgos. Oh,
so you goodness. Already know I'm a piece of work.
Yes. Exactly. When you said piece of work, well, I kind of looked at Tracy through Zoom and thought that's what we are too. So
I know I'm on the Leo cusp. So I'm more, Corey's much more organized and more, she's more typical Virgo and more has her stuff together. I don't, I'm a mess. I'm a Virgo Leo mess, but yeah, you are quite, I would have thought 31 just by the way, but it's, yeah, take that and do with it what you will.
Thank
but,
you so much. I appreciate it.
I mean, this whole time, I've been like, wow. I mean, but that's the thing. Like everything that you're living with so much intention, right? And again, we talk about this all the time on the podcast. Therapy isn't just because people are messed up. I mean, it helps when you're messed up, but everybody has baggage from their life.
Exactly. You know, I had to unpack all that baggage. And it was good for him to understand my baggage and why I, you know, act like a nut sometimes, you know, why I go off. I'm very independent. So it was a struggle, me giving up my independence. He is like a real alpha male. He is like the head of the household, like old school. So for me to be with a person like that was really hard. I had to learn how to be with someone like that, which made me go back in my mind or my childhood to, you know, how I grew up with my great aunt and uncle for a while, to living like that, where he took care of her and those type of things. But I'm like, oh man, I can't let a man, you know, take care of me. You know, I've worked all my life. I've taken care of myself. I've taken care of my kids. I've done all these things myself, but I had to learn to work with someone now. Now it's two of us. We're a unit. And so I really had to deprogram and reprogram my thinking, that it's not just me. It's someone else and we're a team.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about this too, I'm thinking about like, the dynamic of the fact that you both had children. I don't know. I don't know why it feels different to me. Like if you both have children, you both come into the situation as existing parents. And like in my situation and in Tracy's situation, we had one of us was a parent and the other wasn't. And so thinking about just from what you've learned from going through all of this, you know, what are some thoughts that you might even be able to recommend for our listeners about, you know, how do you blend those situations where someone, in my case, I've partnered with two different people now that have never parented before. So they don't even have any kind of script to go from. I don't know to what extent I'm supposed to pull them in because they don't have any kind of, they don't have their own children. Like we don't have like equal hands as we're playing cards or whatever you want to call it. Right. I'm not entirely sure that dynamic kind of ends up just being lopsided just by virtue of parenting experience. So I know that wasn't your direct experience, but in your clinical psychology work and just from your own reflection, what might you share about ways that those kinds of dynamics can be thriving?
You know, I have been in that type of relationship before. And what I have to say is that, you know, the other person has to be willing and comfortable with the children. Some people, what I've noticed, are uncomfortable with, they feel like they're out of place with either disciplining or speaking to or even redirecting someone else's child. And if someone feels that way, even after a few outings or so, then that might not be the right person, because redirecting a child, I mean, I could, if someone were to come over and we're just hanging out and everything, I can redirect your child out of love. And that's where it should come from, out of love. You're not disciplining the child. You're not saying, hey, okay, we'll stand in the corner. You're not putting them in time out. You're redirecting as in, okay, let's rethink that. This is why you should do this. And if they're not comfortable just out the gate with doing that with a child, period, then they may not be good with children at all. So those are the type of things you should really pay attention to.
So is assuming it's a conversation just like any of these things early on, you know, and you might say to someone like, hey, you know, I've got kids. How do you feel about that? Oh, great. I like kids, you know, and then here you go. It's like, what does that actually look like in practice?
But,
right?
But I think it's hard though to know that until you do it. Like I was everybody's favorite babysitter. I loved to babysit. All they had to get me was a vegan pizza and a Mountain Dew. And then I would stay at their house. You know, I'd be there. So I did that for everybody. I loved being the babysitter. Right. And then when it came to living with kids, it was a totally different experience. It was, and then to deal with the two parents of my wife and her ex-husband, my God, and culturally, right? So I think different, like you feel comfortable, you know, redirecting a child in your circle. I do, but a lot of people don't. And right. I think you know, take into account race. My ex's husband's Russian. That's a completely different culture from ours. Like, you know, like you get a white person, a Latina person, or a white person, a black person, just so different. They just grow up so differently, you know?
That's why that communication is so, so important. It's extremely important because even though you may have people of the same race, they still didn't grow up alike. Mm-hmm. My husband was in foster care. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a very, pretty much a kind of loving, you know, upbringing.
Leave it to Beaver kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that. You know, my mom, she worked, but I stayed with my aunt and uncle. So I saw two parents, basically, mm-hmm. two people in a household, and how, you know, back in the early 70s, how it was supposed to be or not.
Right.
But typically, you know, how it was where the man ran the household with the money and gave it to the woman and, you know, that type of scenario. Mm-hmm. That's how I was raised. Now, like I said, I had to be deprogrammed because I was a single parent for quite some time. I was mm-hmm. head of household. I ran my house mm-hmm. and, you know, dared anyone to buck me with, uh-huh. with anything else. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot for me to accept the fact that I had someone who was willing and able to now pitch in and do things or even make decisions and for me to trust him. So it was a whole different situation. And what I would recommend is one, therapy, mm-hmm. two, not just for the couple, but also for the children. Mm-hmm. That's something we did also for the children because it's a lot because children in school, they have a lot going on in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all the mass shootings and everything and other kids, parents getting divorced, the, you know, blended families and it's just so much going on. And then, you know, you're coming home and some kids are 7 days here and 7 days there and a weekend yep. here and a weekend. Yep. It's
right.
It's a lot. So, you know, the kids need to, you know, unleash and wind down. And if they can peel down a few layers to someone other than, a mom or a dad, if at all possible. And, you know, so someone else can get inside and find out what's going on before it's too late because the suicide rate is up with children, alcoholism, drugs, everything is skyrocketing with our young adults.
Proving my point again, that everybody, that therapy and therapists are so helpful, right? And it's not accessible to everyone. I understand that. But if it is, it's nothing to fear. I mean, and a good therapist, hopefully you get in with a good therapist, but it's just processing your life, right? And so if you're the parent, you got to process that. You got to agree with the other parent. The kids have to understand what's happening and process their own thing. I think that's what we just don't get in life is that everyone's saying they're processing stuff in their head, right?
Right.
I don't know what's in your head. You don't know what's in my head. We start talking and we're not understanding each other. And I do think people don't really give kids the credit that they deserve for how much they understand and how much emotionally they need, you know?
Yeah. And also, you know, some parents, they don't talk to their kids about, you know, what's going on and next steps and things like that. And, you know, if a breakup is about to happen, or if they are dating someone new, or if they're moving or things like that, it's just a bam, it's a change. And now the kid has to adapt and adjust. And it's not fair for them. They need some time to process. You don't have to tell them, okay, well, you know, Bonnie and I broke up because of, you know, infidelity, or you don't have to go into details that. But they should say, okay, you know, the communication was bad, or it just didn't work out between, you know, Ray and I or whomever. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to see each other anymore.
Other than springing anything on them in life, right? I think people don't, and it's not, some people have this opinion like, oh, the kids aren't going to run the show, but you can still engage the kids. You can still get their input and guide them. What is that called, Corey? It's like you're teaching your kids in a way, like you're guiding them and letting them lead, but you're not fully letting them, like, you know, run. How to run the show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a word.
I don't know if that's a word, but I mean, like, saying, empowering them to be able to have some agency in their own experiences. I mean, so let me ask you this then too. Have you ever, and I've never done this, so I don't really know if it really works, but what about like a family therapy where everybody comes in together? Is that, I mean, how would that be beneficial in a situation like this? Or would that put maybe the kids in an uncomfortable situation with the new, kind of the new parent in the room?
So, you know, I've never experienced the family therapy where everyone comes in, but when you're having therapy, if the children are having therapy, they have the option to bring in a parent or two or whoever they would like to come into their session. So if they want to talk about a discussion, you know, a issue or a problem or whatever it may be, they have the option to bring someone in.
Well, and I think doing that, either everyone having separate, that's obviously very expensive, but, you know, a session or two to be able to talk about, and then one session together, or even talking to friends. Like, I helped a friend recently who was very upset about her daughter's behavior, who's a teenager. And I was like, well, you just got out of a marriage with her father. Now you're dating a second woman. Like, has that kid even been able to process that? Like, you know what I mean? And I see this now over 50. There's more and more women who are dating women who formerly were with men. And okay, fine. You've made that shift. But has the child? I mean, that's a big deal, right?
And I think,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. That's what I mean. That's the conversation. You don't have to go all the way into details of why you're doing something, why you made the choice, but at least, okay, if you were dating men before and now your daughter just happens to catch you, you know, kissing a woman, okay, there needs to be some sort of conversation, because the daughter's like, oh my God, what's going on?
Right.
They're like totally confused, and they deserve something.
Well, and that is like when I say cultural, that's a big difference between a male-female dynamic and then a female-female dynamic or male-male. Those dynamics are all so different from each other, right? And so when kids have been raised in like a heteronormative, you know, situation, and now they're with two women, and it's, you've got to, like, that has to be discussed, and everyone has to feel, I think, safe to give their opinion and express that, right? Whether it's like not PC or whatever, everyone has feelings and they're going to have a reaction to that stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that either some people, they don't have the discussion because, one, for fear of rejection, of someone not liking their choices, or because they don't feel that the person or people deserve any type of discussion. This is my life, it's my situation, I don't need to talk to anybody about it. And it's not for permission that you're talking to anyone about it. Right. Your decision is your decision, but it is just out of respect and courtesy, just saying, hey, okay, you know, I've tried dating men, and it's just not working. I have found a woman who loves me, who we have phenomenal conversation, and bam, that's it.
Right.
I love this person. That's it. Love is love. I mean,
right. Yep. But it is it really is a conversation that has to be had and that everyone can't wrap their mind around. I mean, Corey, what if you start dating a man? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't.
I know.
Well, but it's not going to happen, people. But if it were to happen, it would be it'd be a mind.
Right.
For your kid. Right.
Well, the thing is too, is that I think too is remembering sometimes, particularly with our tweens and teens, that, you know, they come off like adults, like they've got it together, right? And you assume that. And so you skip over the conversations when really they're just developmentally, you know, kind of going through their own maturation process. And it's like, mm-hmm. hold on a second. And then you don't bring it up. You don't ask it. You just sort of brush it aside or whatever it is, whether it's dating just a new person or just however, you know, you're choosing to live your life. And then they act out, right? And then our response mm-hmm. is to discipline these kids because they're acting out. But the reality is they're acting out because all of a sudden they're going through a change and don't have a productive way to process that, because sometimes we don't even ask or give them opportunity to do that. And I think that's really important.
And I think it's important for both parents or the new partner, whoever's in this relationship, or both parents to understand that kids do appear to be adult at one minute. And then suddenly you're like, whoa, where did exactly. 6-year-old come from? Like they're 18, they're 6 going on 18. And then the next day they're 18, they're like a 6-year-old. And you're like, what? And that's the thing, is that it's like we don't give them enough credit. And then sometimes when they act so mature, we're like, oh my gosh, we give them too much. And
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I think when I moved in with kids, it was shocking for me because I came from a very dysfunctional family. So then to see a functional one, it would just blew my mind. Right. And then just to understand children, I read all those books. I think they're from the 70s, like your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old. And it explained so much. And I was like, everybody should read these books because, you know, we're living, it's just a matter of understanding, like, you know, what children need. And that's in society in general. You know, like that we would provide the resources for people so they don't end up with all of the problems that everybody seems to have now.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because we neglect, it's like as a society, maybe we just haven't matured enough or evolved enough. We just constantly neglect the emotional needs. And it seems like, you know, I don't know, you just seem like a great example of talking stuff through first, making a decision that we're going to be in this together and we're going to go through this. And I think people, if you're going to embark on something, do that, you know, really have those. I do it now. I didn't do it back then. And I was very flippant about everything, whatever. I was a babysitter. I'll be fine. And like, you know, it's a totally different thing. But like I went and got the resources and those books, and there's a book called, you know, Talking So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. That changed my whole relationship with kids, you know?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think both people have to be committed to doing the work. You've done the work, clearly.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's something that you, even 14 years in, you are still consciously making an effort. Even the kids that don't live under your roof, right, that are adult children, that you're still making a conscious effort to be on the same page. I mean, a 26-year-old's going to have an issue and come to you, and you're going to have to figure it out. And so
definitely. Yeah. I mean, our kids are still our kids, no matter how old they are. And numerically, they're still going to have problems. They're still going to come to mommy and daddy and, you know, seek their advice. And we're still going to be expected to fix it.
Yeah, I have a friend who married someone with kids, and the kids have a lot of issues, but they're adults, and that was shocking to her. And I'm like, well, you married all of them, right?
Right. They're going to be your kids forever.
Kids don't they don't just, like 18, they're not, put water in, they pop up, and they're like out the house and fine, right?
I mean,
they're there forever.
That whole thing of forever. 18 and you're done. No, you're never done with them. You know, I have the youngest is, he'll graduate from college, in May, and he's at that point, you know, where he has jitters. Now life is actually real to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he'll be coming back home, and he's working on getting jobs lined up and things of that nature. But yeah, he's calling more and more because he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's scared. And then we have the youngest daughter who is, she's actually moving back in to prepare for her move to another state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're always mom and dad. You're always mm-hmm. here for mm-hmm. something, for some reason to help out.
Exactly. My mom always told me, you know, even in my mid to late 40s, she was like, I'm still your mom. Text me when you get home. I still worry. Like some of those intangibles right. too, even if the kids don't seek you out, you're still parenting by just virtue of worry or stress or, you know, I would tell my mom I had something big coming up at like a job interview and then I would forget to call her afterwards. You know, I'm like in my 40s, like, and then she would call. I've been waiting on the round, you know, waiting for you to call me all day. And so, you know, that parenting, you know, even comes from the side of the parent too, not even just like the kid wanting it. And so, and the part, your partner, you know, it's important to understand that. And particularly in the case where, you know, I was talking about where, you know, I have the child and my partners have not had the children and saying like, it doesn't end. It doesn't yeah. ever end.
Never.
So, right.
Anyways, well, we have had such a lovely conversation with you. Thank you so much for being here. If our listeners wanted to learn more about you, where can they find you? What's on the horizon for you next? Like, yeah, what can you put out there for our listeners?
Let's see. Well, you can find me on IG at Talk to Nicole OH or Facebook at Talk to Nicole OH. Or you can send me an email at Nicole at Talk to Nicole. And it's the old school Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E.
Got you. It right comes right up. Talk to Nicole.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Awesome. We'll make sure to add those into our show notes and refer our listeners over to you. And particularly if they're in any of the states in which you are in right now to maybe seek you out for any kind yes. of services.
Yeah. Anyone needing substance use or mental health, my clinics are in Maryland, more specifically in Baltimore. That's one clinic there and the lower Eastern Shore, Salisbury, Princess Anne and Crisfield,
Maryland. Awesome.
Excellent. Wow. Well, Dr. Nicole, it has been, like I said, an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your own personal experiences, your wisdom, your insight from having gone through this. I think it's really important for our listeners to hear about, you know, how someone else did this, right? And mm-hmm. and that it can be done and done well, and that you've been able to learn along the way and say, here are some of the things I'd say to do. And so we're going to make sure that we put some of these highlights in the show notes, but making sure that we get this episode out far and wide, because this is certainly an issue that I'm sure, particularly, you know, women of our age, well, Tracy's in, well, all of us, we're all Virgos running around.
Yeah.
The same
and age. We're all Virgos over 50.
Exactly.
We're all over 50.
You know, because the chances of us partnering up with someone who has children or we have children ourselves is much likelier at this age than it was at a younger age. And so I think this is really timely. So again, thank you so much for being on, and for all the rest of you out there in our wide world of listeners, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.